It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Curling fans, as America's best curling teams prepare to compete on the world stage, you've come to the one place with everything you need involving USA Curling. It's the Extra Extra In podcast with Price Atkinson. Get ready for everything that you need to know. News, interviews, points of view, anything involving Team USA forming and the 2018 Winter Olympics in South Korea for Team USA Curling is found here. It's the Extra Extra In podcast with Price Atkinson and the 12th In Sports Network crew powered by Isagenix.
Welcome into the Extra Extra In podcast with the 12th In Sports Network powered by Isagenix. Price Atkinson, Joe Calabrese here. Joe, another big show lined up. A lot of fun and a lot of great curling we had this past weekend that we're going to get into here on this episode of the Extra Extra In podcast.
Yeah, you know, there was a crazy amount of curling on TESN over the weekend, and, you know, it's highlighted by the St. Paul Cash Spiel, and we're going to be talking all about that on everything from the men's side and some great performances by those high performance teams. And then on the women's side and what happened with Jessica Schultz and that extra, extra end bump.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's no other way you can put it. I mean, you know, we talk about the bump. People think that we're, you know, making this up. You know, Richie Ruinen hits me up and is dying to get on to book them to be the week before Olympic trials. Because he knows, I mean, Richie Ruinen knows that it's real, it's legit. But last week, Sean Murray, Jessica Schultz here. Look, who makes the finals of the St. Paul Cash Spiel? Jessica Schultz, Sean Murray. This thing is legit, Joe. This is no myth or made up by TESN.
Yeah, it seems to be no joke. And maybe we have a preemptive bump this week because we have Team McCormick, who we had an interview for and we'll be hearing from in just a little bit. They wound up winning the St. Paul Cash Spiel. So, they won it before they were interviewed, but just the same, we're excited to have them on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. As Corey is going to be heading out to Seattle to play some mixed doubles with Jamie Sinclair, while Heather McCormick, he's going to have the weekend off. So, you know, a lot of good stuff. We'll bring you here in the next segment with our featured guest interview, Team McCormick. That would be Heath McCormick and Corey Dropkin, that you can follow on Twitter at Team underscore McCormick. And those guys really had a lot of fun talking with them earlier, just where they're at in their season. They've had some success, too. I mean, they had a little bit of a rough go in the Grand Slam, earlier in the season. And certainly they went over to the play in the over in Switzerland just, 2 weeks ago. But they come back as Richie Ruinen takes the ice, as Chris Plies is off doing a Red Bull event. And Richie, I don't want to say he sparks them, but Richie comes in there and makes a difference as they go and defend their St. Paul Cash Spiel title, Joe.
Yeah, we talked about how good a curler Rich Ruinen is. And, you know, if you're going to have a fifth man, he's almost the perfect one to have. He can play any position. He's good strategically, strong as heck, and he can play. And you know, you lose somebody like Plies, you can bring somebody in like Rich. You're really not losing all that much. And if anything at all, and another great result for a team that maybe after Nationals last year was thinking a little bit about maybe their confidence level, and I got to believe that their confidence level now is at a new high.
Yeah, absolutely. As we're talking here on the Extra Extra In podcast, we got a lot of stuff to bring you here. We'll bring you our roundtable in the final segment as we talk with Chris Lisney from the St. Paul Curling Club, who really did some yeoman's work, did a great job, helping broadcast the St. Paul Cash Spiel and also host of the Stonecast podcast. So really enjoyed having Chris Lisney. We'll bring you that here in the final segment, Joe.
Yeah, you know, Chris is instrumental about behind TESN in St. Paul and has done the last couple cash spiels out there from a webcasting end, and he does a great job. And they're one of our strongest affiliates, and it's going to be great talking with Chris about all things St. Paul Curling Club and what happened here over the weekend.
Yeah, we got a great giveaway this week, too, that we'll tell you about here in a little bit, Joe. But Ice Halo, this is another good one, as we have a giveaway every single week here on the Extra Extra In podcast that you can sign up and win. Enter with the widget on TESN.us/podcast, Joe. Prizes we give away every single week, and we got good stuff for our listeners every single week right here.
Yeah, you know, every week we try to bring something to the curling world. Ice Halo is protective headgear that curlers use across the country and in Canada. The Vice on my mixed team uses it to protect her head. She's had a few falls on the ice, and you know, I've certainly witnessed quite a few, and the folks at Ice Halo recognize that, and they've come up with a product to help, and it's very fashionable. It's something that I think a lot of curlers could use out there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So let's go ahead and get off to break. Before we do get to this break and get to Team McCormick with Corey Dropkin and Heater McCormick, let's just tell you where you can find us every single week. A brand new podcast of the Extra Extra In comes out every single Thursday morning. Go to iTunes, go to the Apple Podcast app on your smartphone, search the Extra Extra In. You will find us that simple, iTunes or the Apple Podcast app on your smartphone. You can get us on Stitcher, Google Play, and without a doubt, TESN.us/podcast. A new episode coming out every single Thursday each week as we take you and get ready for the U.S. Olympic Trials coming up starting November the 11th in Omaha, Nebraska at Baxter Arena. Joe, just more great stuff we're going to bring you through the next few weeks as we inch ever so closely to the Olympic Trials, because it is almost here, my friend. It is right around the corner, just about a month.
Yeah, I can't wait. Looking forward to it, Price.
All right, let's go ahead and get out of here. When we come back, Heater McCormick and Corey Dropkin from Team McCormick right here on the Extra Extra In podcast with the 12th In Sports Network, powered by Isagenics. You tried different weight loss programs and are still looking for results? I was too, until I found Isagenics, and it didn't take long before I started getting the results that I wanted. Isagenics is a complete 9-day or 30-day weight loss, energy, performance, and health aging program. With over 550,000 customers in 7 countries, Isagenics' science-backed ingredients and products are rigorously tested for safety and will help boost your weight loss efforts by gently cleansing and nourishing your body. Isagenics' cleansing and fat-burning system has helped me relieve daily stress and given me even more energy to play with my kids from sun up to sun down. Every day and every week, I'm coming across and meeting a friend of mine that is also an Isagenics customer. My personal Isagenics associate, Sarah Schuster, helped me take control of my health and, most importantly, my life. Sarah walked me through the entire process, answered every question, and most importantly, serves as my personal daily cheerleader. And she can do the same and more for you. Give Sarah a call with the keyword curling at 218-391-1566, and she'll waive your 1-year membership fee. Stop making excuses and start taking control. Let Sarah get you started on a healthier life at 218-391-1566. Isagenics did it for me, and it can do it for you. All right, welcome back into the Extra Extra In podcast with the 12th In Sports Network, powered by Isagenics. And now we're going to talk a little curling with my man Heater McCormick and Corey Dropkin from Team Heath McCormick. Guys, what's happening today? Great start to the season, and congratulations on a big weekend winning the St. Paul Cash Spiel last weekend.
Thanks, Bryce. Glad to be here.
Well, let's get in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Let's get into it. We're going to talk with Heater McCormick and Corey Dropkin here for a little bit. But, you know, what was it like? Just talk about the, you know, getting back on the ice this weekend. You guys have had a busy fall so far, but you get the taste of victory, you know, defending the title at the St. Paul Cash Spiel. And, you know, had a little bit of a different flavor in there as Plies was off doing a little bit of Red Bull action, and you get Richie Ruinen on the ice.
Yeah, it was great. Richie was excited to play there, and we kind of got a free hotel for the weekend, too, staying at Richie's house. So, Yeah, we had some good vibes from last year at that spiel, and seemed to play pretty well this week as well, so it was nice.
Yeah, what about it, Corey? How'd it feel a little bit different without Plies in there as you get Richie the, I'm not going to call him the old man, I don't want to piss him off, but, you know, a guy that's obviously got a lot of experience, the new addition to your team. You know, what has he brought, what did he bring to the ice this weekend?
Yeah, it was a little bit different, but I think things worked out pretty well on the ice. I hadn't played with Richie before, but, you know, he was fun to have out there. He's very talkative. He's always talking about, you know, what to do next. And he's almost kind of like a coach out there, too, because he was helping me out a lot just throughout each game. And so, you know, it's fun to have him out there and kind of good to get that experience with him on the ice.
Yes, we're talking with Heater McCormick and Corey Dropkin. Follow these guys on Twitter at Follow the Heater and at K Dropkin, their team at @team_H McCormick, and check them out on Facebook at Team McCormick Curling. And, you know, guys, just kind of take a snapshot of the fall. What's this fall season been like for y'all? You played in the Tour Challenge, the first slam of the season. You guys played in the Swiss Cup over, you know, in Switzerland. You know, just kind of encapsulate where you guys are right now as a team.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's funny you say the start of this season, because we've almost felt like there has been no off season, really.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of time in the summer, but we definitely had a bunch of stuff going on. We've been busy with Curling Night in America, and then really not a whole lot of time in between that and getting our season going. So it's been busy, some highs and lows, but overall it's been pretty good.
Yeah. What about it, Corey?
Yeah, it's already been almost feels like it's been like a full season for us, to be honest. We've probably been played in about four or five tournaments now. And so as we had some ups and we had some downs. And so we've kind of just learned and take away from each weekend piece by piece. And, you know, we have this weekend off as a team. I'll be out in Seattle with Jamie Sinclair playing mixed doubles. And then we're back on the ice in Gatlin. And Sarnia, you know, 1 weekend off before trials, and so it's an exciting time, and kind of looking forward to keep plugging away.
It's funny to hear you say that, Corey. You got the weekend off, yet you're going all the way out to Seattle to play mixed doubles. That's not a weekend off, my man. That's going back and getting back to hard work. But, you know, as you mentioned, Curling Night in America, guys, the chance to play in that back in Baxter Arena, where we're going to have the Olympic trials. We'll all have a nice, fun week together in Omaha, Nebraska, coming up next month. But, you know, what was it like to play, you know, in Baxter Arena, get your kind of first taste inside the arena? Absolutely gorgeous. You know, but to do it in front of the cameras is, we just saw the very first episode air this past Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, as you said, it's a really pretty arena and great crowd. So many people showing up and, you know, crowds are really electric out there. They kept on cheering. And so it's fun to play in front of them and kind of get involved with them. And so yeah, ice is great there, and kind of looking forward to it.
What do you think, Heater? I mean, the crowds were, you know, as Corey, you know, mentioned, you know, the crowds were unbelievable, electric. Everybody's going to see that in the coming weeks. It got better and better as, you know, we got into the weekend, but, you know, the chance to play in that event, you know, against some pretty good competition, but the chance to, you know, kind of have a week, several days, not a full week, but several days to get comfortable in that environment where you guys are obviously going to be competing for a spot in the Olympics.
Yeah, I think it was a number of different things for me. I mean, the building, you know, we play in a lot of nice arenas, so that it's nice, and that's not a huge factor, I think, but we got to, you know, some of the areas around where we're going to go eat, what we're going to do, where we're going to stay.
Yeah.
We got a lot of those things down. You know, got a feeling for what the crowd might be like. They're energetic. They don't necessarily, you know, their education on curling itself they're just starting to learn the game. So,
yeah.
So we got a feeling for, you know, what the atmosphere might be like when, you know, when it comes down to the end of games and we're trying to win them.
Yeah, continue with Heater McCormick and Corey Dropkin. And, you know, Heater, I don't think it's any kind of secret that Nationals this past February was was a disappointment for you guys, because, you know, just simply all you need to do is make the playoffs and you get to go to Worlds, but you fall short. How did you guys regroup coming out of Nationals, you know, getting ready to turn the page for, you know, like you said, it's been a season where you really didn't have an off season. You go straight into preparing for the trials coming up.
Yeah, I mean, definitely it was a disappointment. I think we learned a lot about each other and about our team, and you know, it was, if there was going to be a time to have it, that was actually a decent time to to do something like that, and where we could reflect and where we could build on it. We went over to Switzerland a month or two after that and played in a late season event where we played some high quality teams and did fairly well. So we kind of took that momentum and then took it into kind of our spring, summer, kind of where we want to go from here,
yeah,
sort of thing, and used it as kind of motivation.
Yeah. Hey, Corey, so I got to tell you, Corey, when it was at Nationals in February, you know, I think, I don't remember what night it was. I think you guys had just lost in the previous draw, but I saw you sitting in the stands. You were looked really upset, just pissed, for lack of a better term, sitting by yourself down on one end, you know, watching a session, and it just looked like it really affected you losing, that you were just simply ticked off because you're coming out of juniors, not far, you know, not too far out of juniors, where you had a whole lot of success, and it just seemed like that losing really just was totally unacceptable for you.
Yeah, I mean, myself, I have high expectations for myself, and I think our team does as well. And I mean, no one's going to be happy about, you know, having a bad showing 1 week. And so, you know, I think the biggest thing, though, is just how individually and as a team we bounce back from a loss like that. And, you know, we've worked really hard this past off season, and both physically and mentally. And so we've just been doing what we can to prepare for this upcoming trials and kind of show what we can do out there. And so, you know, I mean, I think that's just behind us as a team, and you know, we're just moving on and focusing on what's next.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Talking with Heater McCormick and Corey Dropkin. And Heater, you know, you obviously made the move to the U.S. I believe, right, 2010, correct me if I'm wrong, right? I think it was 2010.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So that, you know, you've had, you know, several Nationals, what, a gold and a bronze. Has the goal since the start, since coming to the U.S. to play, you know, for Team USA, this will be your second Olympic trials. You got third in 2014. Has this been the goal since you made that move, is simply to get to the Olympic Games, to qualify and represent Team USA?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, back in 2010, I was approached with some unique opportunities. I took that, and it's kind of blossomed from there. You know, some of the teams that I was on before, they were really good. But I think last season and now into this season, we've found a really nice combination with the addition of Corey and Tom on the front end, who are young, energetic, and excited. And we're all, like Corey said, we're all kind of working hard, and I'm working harder now than I have probably ever in my career. So, you know, on a number of different things and a number of different areas. So, you know, we're excited going forward for sure.
Yeah. Now, Heater, this will be your second Olympic trials, but Corey, your first Olympic trials coming up. I mean, really, what are the expectations, you know, to play coming up in Baxter Arena, to compete for a shot to go to the Olympics? I mean, not something I'm sure these guys have talked to you about it, told you a little bit about what to expect, but it's just one of those things. You can't learn it, you can't feel it until you actually feel it.
Yeah, definitely going to be my first Olympic trials, and so I'm really excited. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure out there, and it's just kind of going to be about putting that pressure behind me and focusing on, you know, each game at a time, each end and each shot. So really just kind of focusing on the process and doing what I can to make my shots and help out my team and whatnot. And so, as I said, you know, I've got high expectations for myself and the team. And, you know, I think we're going out there thinking, you know, that we can win it. And so that's, you know, that's what we're going to go try to do. And yeah.
Yeah, so we're talking with Heater McCormick and Corey Dropkin. And, you know, Heater, since – you know, turning 41, you're not the young buck like Dropkin and Tom are. You know, is preparation is the preparation and training different? I mean, you said you're working harder than ever, but is it because, you know, not as light in the legs, maybe, so to speak, anymore, that you're getting a little bit older? I mean, how is it different now than, say, 15 years ago when you were, you know, competing at the highest level?
I'll race those young guys anytime they want.
come on, Corey. I don't think he can.
I can't impress them, but I can run with them. That's for sure. No, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say it's any harder. I mean, I would say that, you know, it just takes dedication. It takes, you know, everyone says, "Oh, I'm busy and I'm busy and I'm busy," and you can't find the time, but you got to make the time. So I make the time.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a family, I've got businesses, you know, so all that stuff takes time, but I've made time for curling, which, is very important to me at this part of my life. So, yeah, is it difficult sometimes? Of course, but, ultimately it's where I want to be and what I want to be doing. So
yeah,
to me, that's, you know, that's the ultimate.
Yeah, Corey, you know, I know Plies likes to think he's one of the young bucks, but he's been around for a little while. But you and Tom Howell played together for what I think the last 6 years. What's the connection you two have?
Yeah, this is actually our 11th year curling together. Yeah, so we've been on board together for what feels like forever now, and so you know, we started playing back end together a while back, and so. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of were able to form, you know, a strong system of communication. And I think that's kind of helped us, you know, shifting to the front end job. And so I think we have a pretty solid system there. And, you know, it's kind of cool because he's, you know, become one of my best friends, almost brothers. And, you know, being with him through this journey has been really cool. And so, yeah, hopefully through more.
Yeah, Heater, what is it like? You got Tom and Corey on the front end just out of juniors. You know, you got some young legs, but you got some guys that can boss the broom. What's it like having them on the front end of this team?
Yeah, it's been really nice, and I think almost, you know, they're definitely – there was a learning curve for all of us.
Yeah.
Started last season, but we got right into it. I mean, the very first spiel we played together, we lost the final. So we kind of said to each other, you know, there's not really a whole lot of time. We had to prove ourselves last season to get ourselves an Olympic trial spot. Mm-hmm. So there was not a whole lot of time for us just to say, okay, let's feel each other out and see how we're going to work as a team. We wanted to get right at it and get right into it. And I think, hence some of the highs and lows. I mean, yeah, one of the lows was nationals, but we won 4 spiels last year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just so happened that we had a low at the wrong time.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, having these guys, they're great sweepers. I mean, I had to draw the 4-foot to win the last game in St. Paul, and basically they made that shot for me.
Yeah.
Or for our team. So it's been great, and you know, hopefully Chris and I are teaching them a few things, and they're teaching us a few things too. So it's been really good.
Yeah, as we're talking with Heater McCormick and Corey Dropkin, you can follow them on Twitter at @team_H_McCormick and @KDropkin and @FollowTheHeater. You know, what is it you guys learn? I'm sure you're still learning about each other, right? You're two playing together, you know, as a team. I mean, are you still learning things about? Not just yourselves, but certainly about each other and you guys collectively, you know, as a four, I guess not a foursome, but now a fivesome.
Oh, yeah. I think every weekend we learn something new about each other. I mean, as you said, this is our second year together. And, you know, to do what we want to do, we kind of have had to go through and learn as quickly as possible just the ins and outs of each other and what we want to do, what we want to be as a team. So, you know, it's always going to be a learning curve. There's, you know, every weekend we continue to, you know, keep learning and improving, I'd say.
Well, one thing I've learned, guys, is, you know, ISU Heater is that from what I've been told, you guys like to give Dropkin a little bit of a hard time over his new, good movie star friend in new beau that you guys like to rib him. And maybe it's Plies that likes to do a lot of the ribbing. But how much crap do y'all give him?
Oh, well, we not too much. I mean, thankfully, he takes it in good fun. We do have a little book of Coreyisms, I think.
Don't take this, Corey.
that we take keep tucked away. But yeah, it's all in good fun. Everybody kind of ribs each other, and you know, we spend a lot of time together at different events and hotel rooms and airports and cars and wherever else. So I think on top of everything else, as teammates, we've all became really good friends as well, which can only help our cause.
They're not too hard on you about it, are they, Corey?
They got their times, but you know, I just got to take it with fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all in good fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it. As we continue with Heater McCormick and Corey Dropkin getting ready to wrap up here, you know, and guys, with, I don't want to say what, maybe a month to go, I guess we're really about a month out from Olympic trials. And, you know, what does the rest of the fall look like for you all and Team McCormick as you're getting ready to, I guess, really kind of finish this prep and get ready to go for it in Omaha? What else is on the docket left as you guys continue preparing?
Well, we got a couple more spiels. We have a weekend off and right now, and then we go to Gatineau, Quebec for a World Curling Tour event, and then we have the Sarnia World Curling Tour event, which is in my hometown, so that's a nice one for me. We'll have a week off in between, and then we go to trials, so we're just kind of fine-tuning everything, staying fit, staying focused, and you know, trying to be as prepared as we can for Omaha.
Corey, anything you're going to be able to get out and do and have a little bit of fun between now and then? Not much free time, but anything you're going to be able to rush out and do, maybe a weekend trip, getaway, anything you guys just to kind of continue to not let the pressure build, but just stay, you know, stay loose and have fun?
Yeah, I mean, the next few weeks, I'm honestly only in Duluth for all of like about 2 days each week. But, you know, I guess for me, kind of getting up the North Shore and seeing the leaves that they're changing right now, they're beautiful up there. But apart from that, it's just, you know, compete, rest, recover, train, compete again.
Yeah. Well, Corey, I give you my condolences right now, just as we wrap up on the Red Sox, as a Massachusetts native, the Sox. I was pulling hard for them with the Greenville Drive here in town, the single A team of the Red Sox. I had my Red Sox gear on the last few days and just hate they came up short, but
coming to the end of the season.
Yeah, they made a good run at it. But speaking of good runs, can't wait to see you guys make a good run at it in Omaha in just a few weeks. I can't believe it's going to be about a month away until we're there for seeming like about a week and a half. We might as well go all ahead and get a mailing address. I feel like we're going to be in Omaha so long. But congratulations, Corey and Heater, on winning the St. Paul Cash Spiel. A lot of fun watching you guys curl on the web stream this weekend. And, you know, from all of us here at the Extra Extra Podcast, just certainly good luck. Can't wait to see you in Omaha, guys.
Thanks, Bryce. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Bryce. Yeah. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Heater McCormick and Corey Dropkin from Team McCormick. Appreciate those guys getting in after what a great weekend for them at the St. Paul Cash Spiel, defending their title. Really enjoyed catching up with them as we're barreling toward the Olympic trials, just now weeks away. You can catch them on Curling Night in America. The first episode premiered just this past week on Tuesday. A whole lot more to look forward to with Team McCormick on Curling Night in America to whet everybody's appetite as we get ready for the upcoming Olympic trials. All right, let's go ahead and shift gears. Let's get ready for our weekly roundtable coming up in the next segment. Joe Calabrese is going to pop back on with me, and then we'll be joined in that roundtable by Chris Lisney from the St. Paul Curling Club, host of the Stonecast podcast. He was in the house this past weekend doing a lot of the web stream work on from the St. Paul Cash Spiel. So we'll talk with Chris Lisney here coming up in our weekly roundtable on the Extra Extra In podcast with the 12th In Sports Network, powered by Isagenics.
Ice Halo protective headgear is the first choice for curlers everywhere. Ice Halo is the leading manufacturer of protective headgear, boasting the largest variety of sizes, colors, and styles, from fleece to fur, and Ice Halo Protective Headband and High Performance Halo HD. Ice Halo also manufactures an extensive selection of protective ball caps, including a full line of extra large caps to protect those extra smart brains, and colorful selection of protective toques and winter hats. Ice Halo, setting the global standard for protective headgear. This week, we're giving you the chance to win any item from the Ice Halo website. To enter, go to our website at www.tesn.com/podcast and use the widget in the upper right-hand corner of the page. And as an added bonus, we have $10 gift certificates for 10 runner-ups this week.
All right. right, welcome back into the Extra Extra In podcast with the 12th In Sports Network, powered by Isagenix. I'm Bryce Atkinson. My man Joe Calabrese joining us again. And now we got a special guest for the very first time on our weekly roundtable segment, Chris Lisney out of the St. Paul Curling Club, also the host of the Stonecast podcast. You can check out on Stonecast Rocks online. Chris, what's happening? Appreciate you joining us this week for the very first time.
Thanks, Bryce. It's pretty excited to be on board. I heard good things about being on here from Sean Murray this weekend.
Joe, do we even go there? I mean, do we even start with podcast bumping and stuff? I don't know. I don't want to belabor the point, but how about our man Sean Murray going out first event with his new team, or one of his first events with his new team? I believe it was the first, and they get to the finals against Heater McCormick, and Heater obviously winning the thing. How about Sean Murray?
Yeah, he was playing great this weekend. It was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, I can imagine that there was a pretty big cheering section for him as things started rolling for him. He's a real likable guy and really well-loved in the U.S. curling community.
We had him mic'd. So last year was the first time I've ever done commentary for curling. We did the Cash Spiel. Uh-huh. Maureen and Pete Stoltz asked if I would put it together. And like after the second draw, Sean Murray sits down and he said, Maureen asked me to help out. Well, that guy's like Howard Cosell at curling. He like he's got like this, you know, beautiful baritone voice, and you know, I don't know, it's like, oh, what am I gonna do now? Well, I can give you, there's 18 different options. And so we mic'd him out on the ice, and so it was really cool listening to him in the house, like you know, negotiating what to do. And you can tell that he's a, you know, very tactical person.
Yeah, you know, that final was interesting. You know, you've got somebody like Sean who's real vocal and kind of, you know, tells you everything that he's thinking out on the ice. And then on the other side, you've got Heater McCormick, who's very introverted when it comes to, you know, his on ice demeanor. Pretty distinct contrast there.
Yeah. Corey Dropkin, I gave him the mic and said, well, give this mic to whoever, you know, Heater or whoever. And he's like, I think we'll give it to Richie. Heater doesn't really talk that much. So.
Oh, Richie's never met a mic he didn't like. In fact, Richie was texting me late last week begging to have the last podcast slot because of the podcast bump, begging to have that last slot right before the Olympic trials, because he knows, Richie Ruinen knows the bump he can get, which is why I was like, Rich, you know, we got sponsorships available. Also have some pockets that are empty. You want to help us out? We can make that happen.
I don't know. You know, I was going to give you a hard time about this podcast bump because I don't know, but I think you've interviewed like half the people that were competing.
Well, you know what? I guess to pat ourselves on the back, Chris, I think we have, but every time, and Joe, help me out here. Every time we have that guest on that next week, somebody's going out and either winning or making a final.
Yeah, it seems that way. I mean, you know, Sean on the men's side, and then we'll talk about the women in just a second, but Jessica Schultz wins the event. She was our roundtable guest last week, and we predicted it here on the Extra Extra End.
Well, let's get into the St. Paul Cash Spiel. Let's talk about the men's side, Chris. Is you guys right. Obviously had a great field. You look at the bottom half of the draw, and when I'm looking at it, I'm talking playoffs, right? I mean, I think in that bottom half, there's no doubt about it. That's where the strength was. And with all due respect to our man, Sean Murray, I mean, on the top half, I think it was a little bit more manageable. Is on the bottom half, you had Heater McCormick and Todd Burr in one of the quarterfinals on Sunday morning. The other quarter, you had Brady Clark and Craig Brown. Right there, you've got all four. You got four of the five teams, men's teams, that are going to be competing in the trials all on that bottom half.
Yeah, you know, actually the Saturday before, you know, like the getting into the playoffs was really interesting because there was a on the one side there was a three-way tie of 4-4-1 between like Andrew Stipera, Craig Brown, and I think McCormick, yeah, on that side. Well, anyway, so there's a three-way tie or a two-way tie at top. So there's a tiebreaker that had to be played at like 10:30 at night. Uh-huh. Between Andrew Stipera and Craig Brown, which I thought was pretty interesting because Craig Brown's a little more seasoned and he's going into the Nationals, or not the Nationals, but the Olympic trials or whatever. And you've got Andrew Stopera, who just, you know, won silver at the Worlds in Korea. I don't know. It was just super cool. And then afterwards, everybody's so like chill about it, about, you know, like Andrew's team lost. I was talking to Luke and he was like, oh yeah, it's not a big deal. You know, that happens all the time. It's like, they're so calm and collected. It's pretty awesome. And then there was a three-way tie was on the pool B between Burr, Fenson, and Rittenhour. And it came down to Rittenhour was losing to Sobering. And all Sobering had to do on the last shot was to do a pretty easy takeout. And if Sobering would have won, Pete Fenson would have been in, because Pete Fenson had beat Todd Burr just before it. Uh-huh. So there was this big crowd all around it, and they'd all figured out all the like draws to the button, all that kind of stuff. So they all knew, but I wasn't smart enough. I couldn't figure that out. And he misses the shot, which moved it from a two-way tie to a three-way tie. And then the draw to the button got Burr into the playoffs. So that Saturday night was pretty interesting. It was cool.
Well, what do you think about Todd Burr? I mean, you see these guys back together. I mean, not that they broke apart, but you see a team in Todd Burr that's, you know, they're playing together now, coming out for the first time, I guess it should be said, you know, since they got, you know, that won the appeal and now are going to be included in the trials. Just give me your thoughts on Todd Burr and those guys this weekend as they fall to Heater McCormick in that one quarter.
Yeah, well, you know, Hunter Claussen was in there, so
right.
It was, you know, I was thinking it'd be really interesting to see how the team, you know, because there's kind of like they're not sure how they're going to play,
right.
You know, what position. So they had John Benton playing third. They had a really great Friday. They were playing really great, and then they just were having things weren't falling their way on Saturday. So they, I kind of feel like they kind of they didn't. It's not I wouldn't say they lucked into it, but their Saturday wasn't as good. The ice didn't treat them as nicely. So, but I know they're a great team, and Todd, you know, they're competitive. I'm glad they're there, but you know, I'm biased because I see them all the time.
Yeah.
So Chris, you mentioned that Hunter wasn't there for this event. He was at the World Mixed event, correct?
Yep.
Who is playing for Hunter?
I'm really bad with names. So
was Tyler playing with them?
No, Tyler was playing with Bill Stopera's rink, and they also got to the semis. That was a pretty good, you know, Dean Gemmel, Bill Stopera, Mark Lazar.
Yeah.
So you know, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, were there some teams that maybe we hadn't been talking about so far in this podcast? We've sort of focused on those teams heading to the Olympic trials, but there were, you know, a good number of teams here that made the playoffs that aren't part of that process. You know, besides Sean, who we've talked a little bit about, looks like Alex Lechter made the quarterfinals. Yep. Bill Stopera made the semifinals. Were there any other teams that maybe flew under the radar that maybe we should be thinking about as it comes time as after the Olympic trials, we head towards nationals?
You know, I'm not really good with that kind of prognostication, but you know, Koivula was there from Thunder Bay. I'm a big Thunder Bay guy, so I love Canada. I don't know, not really. I mean, it was like Lechter versus Murray, Clark versus Brown, Koivula versus Stopera, Bill Stopera. I don't think Bill Stopera is going to do nationals. He was kind of saying like this is their one deal, you know, a year. Had a great time talking to him, his son, you know, son Andrew, and he participated a lot in the broadcast and came up, as did Mark Lazar, and kind of gave us all sorts of tidbits of information. So that was cool.
So why don't we transition over to the women's side a little bit? You know, we talked last week about how the teams that were going to be going into the Olympic trials, Sinclair, Roth, and Christensen, were not entered in this event. But we had a good amount of women's teams that are well known because a lot of them were in nationals last year. Madison Bear, Cora Farrell, Kim Ryan, they all made the playoffs. But this seemed to be a pretty even field. What did you see out there, Chris, amongst these teams that were maybe aren't the very top of the heap in the U.S., but maybe the next level?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I actually don't know. I never really got a clear reason why, you know, some people said that the women's teams didn't come because there wasn't points. But then I heard that there wasn't points because the women teams didn't, you know, those women's teams didn't come. And certainly last year they were all there, which was kind of exciting. I don't. It was pretty interesting, actually. You know, there was a one of our last draws was well, it was in the playoffs. It was Madison Bear versus Cora Farrell, and it was just neat because they, you know, they have played a lot together, and we had Luke Violet and Andrew Stapera do the commentary, and it was just really interesting listening to them talk because they all kind of have the same kind of coaching and style of play, and so when they were talking on the ice about times and lines and stuff like that, you know, Luke is incredible on the microphone. Andrew was pretty good too, and they like communicate the same language. So I don't know, there was a really high level of play, and I actually had never seen Kim Rimes play. And they were on sheet five, which was what we were covering quite a bit, and they played pretty decent. So,
yeah, as we're talking with Chris Lisney from the St. Paul Curling Club, host of the Stonecast podcast, check him out online, stonecast.rocks. You can listen every time on the iTunes, Apple podcast app. But, you know, staying on the women's side, you know, Jessica Schultz, who we've had on, is one of our roundtable guests the last 2 weeks, two-time Olympian. You know, she obviously, what did you see out of that last game? Because, you know, down 5-4 against Cora Farrell in the final, Jess gets two in the eighth, and what I believe it was the very last shot, just an outstanding game there in the women's final. Talk about just the way that finished out and transpired there in the end, Chris.
Well, it was a tight end, but I think that Jess kind of had it. It seemed like she was in control most of the game, but Cora kind of made it a game. Honestly, Pete and Maureen were actually the ones that were calling that game. I was working a different area of the arena, so I'm not the best to talk on that. You know, honestly, after calling all those games, you get kind of blurred. I don't know how you guys do it at nationals. It's hard to keep track of what the heck's going on.
It's true. Brian Anderson, who works with us at Nationals, does a lot of the producing. They all blend together, and we talk with about that. I don't even remember what we did the last two games, but I remember that last shot that Jess had to throw. It was an outturn hit through a hole to get her to. Yep. It was a tricky, yep, tricky little shot, and they looked at it for quite some time just to see if it was going to be there. It was swept really well, and it wound up getting her to, and that wound up getting her the victory for the Spiel.
Yeah, thank you. Now it's all coming back to me now. And where we were standing, we were on top of sheet five, and you couldn't actually see the port, really. I mean, you could kind of see it, but it didn't look like it lined up. And she was looking at a different shot, or we were all talking about a different shot. And then all of a sudden, Cora kind of bumped something over that made that available, that she could take that out for the two. Otherwise, she was looking to kind of do a tick for a one. So it was kind of unfortunate that Cora could knock that over. But yeah, so we had actually walked over and said, "Oh yeah, there's some good space there." And
yeah,
I think it was a relatively easy shot. But yeah, from our angle at first, it didn't look like that.
Well, Chris, one of the things that I wanted to do while we have you here on the podcast is talk a little bit about the St. Paul Curling Club. They're one of the TESN affiliates, and so I wanted to ask you first, you know, kind of what got you interested in webcasting in the first place.
Well. I really love curling. I haven't only been curling for, this is my, I'm going into my fourth season, and I just love curling and I love audio. So I started just interviewing people. I think the people in curling are fascinating. There's so much history, and St. Paul has so much history, so many families that go back, you know, generation after generation. So I was just kind of pulling that apart. So then I was known. So I interviewed a bunch of people, and turned out that some of those people run the St. Paul Cash Spiel, and they just asked me if I'd like to webcast it. And I've certainly watched a lot of web curling. You guys do a great job in Nationals. It's the only way to see it. And so I was like, yeah, we'll figure it out. And I've got a crew, my friend Adam and crew. We just thought, well, we can leverage the sheet cameras and start figuring it out. And I don't know, it's technically a cool challenge.
Yeah. You know, certainly tuned into plenty of webcasts over the last couple of years, and they're really well done. It's exactly the kind of thing that we're trying to promote out there, is to have, you know, multiple cameras, you guys do it very, very well, and the audio quality and the quality of commentary is very, very good. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about, you know, maybe some of the other events that you may have that are going to be on the network somewhere towards the end of the season.
Yeah, so last year there was the junior regionals that we did, which was – the junior regionals was the most affirming or whatever. I don't know if it was regionals, but it was like – I think it was the West region. It was so – had so much affirmation from doing that. I took the time off between Christmas and New Year's to do it, and there were all these families from like Alaska and California that were like – so appreciative of it because they've got kids that are competing and then they can, you know, go back. I think the two events the next two events that I know of for sure, is the big spiel. There's a big spiel in town. Like it's a really cool spiel. Twin Cities has, now we have five dedicated ice facilities, and a sixth, arena ice facility is opening up soon. So the five, spiels, I think they actually might only do four in the big spiel, but it's a 96 team deal and they go throughout all the different clubs. I'm usually in Mexico, but I think I'm going to be back during that. And we're going to do the finals, and they do a lot of multimedia, and I'm not sure how we're going to do it, but they do this Facebook Live thing where they just go to the different sheets. So that's a really cool spiel. And if anybody wants to see all the different clubs, it's a great one to do. All the clubs are different. Chaska's like a shrine. Frogtown is like just a traditional. We've put together, you know, a bunch of volunteers put together a really fun club. Chaska, Blaine is like, you know, a training center. It's like, and St. Paul is like the granddaddy club. So we're doing that, and that's January 11th through the 14th. So we're still kind of talking about it, but we'll probably do the finals, which will be in St. Paul. So that should be pretty fun. And it should be a lot. My style of commentary is not as serious as a lot of people's styles of commentary. But for the St. Paul Cash Spiel, I tried to rein it back, particularly as we got to the finals days. I'd imagine this one would not be like that. And then in February is the international, which is a great spiel. It's got a $5,000 cash prize for the first event, and that'll be February 22nd through the 25th. And last year we did the finals, and our hometown club team, the Nunberg rink defeated Pete Fenson in a great final. And we piped the sound in the house, and, yeah, it was just really fun. So I'm not sure what else we'll be doing, but I think those two for sure.
So, Chris, are you playing in any events this season? Now that you've got the podcast bump, are you playing anything next week?
Well, yeah, we're actually playing on Sunday and Tuesday just in league night. So I'll have to tell you how it goes. It's interesting. I struggle with getting enough time to curl. Like I see people that curl I curl twice a week, and I usually sub once, you know, once during the week, and I practice one day. So I'm there plenty. I'm not saying that I'm, you know, not doing anything, but people that go, to Bonspiels all the time, I'm a little jealous of, because I just don't have the time or the energy. I got a 9-year-old kid. I got a business. I got all this stuff going on. And I know other people have those things too, but I just can't go as much as I'd like to go. But now that I do broadcasting and that kind of stuff, it's even less. But I do I really do enjoy what we're doing, and it's really fun putting it together.
I'm laughing, Chris, because you couldn't be talking exactly anything more than what I, with a 5 and a 7-year-old, and you know, doing radio shows 3 days a week and I mean, it's just, I don't know how you find the time to do it all. But, you know, before we let you go, Chris Lisney, I want to make sure that we pivot real quick, Joe, to the autumn gold curling classic in Calgary, because that's where we had our three U.S. women's high performance teams. And, you know, Corey Christensen, the one of the three that does not make the playoffs, but the other two had a really good run, especially Nina Roth, to the finals.
Yeah, you know, let's take each team one at a time here. Corey Christensen, she failed to qualify, but she wound up being 4-3 at the event. So that was still a really good result. You know, these events, this event was a ABC bracket kind of event. So her three losses came at the wrong times, I guess, but had a nice run in the A event until she started falling. But really good result there. Jamie Sinclair, she qualified for the playoffs, but she was eliminated by Chelsea Carey in the quarterfinal. That was an extremely defensive game. I don't think there was a score until the sixth end. So, you know, it just sort of, and Chelsea had the hammer and all those early ends. So very defensive game, and it winds up that, you know, Chelsea used the hammer to her advantage there. Wound up getting the win in the quarterfinals against Sinclair. But again, a nice result for Jamie and their team as they continue to have some really good success here early in the season. And now let's talk about Nina Roth, who you know, had a terrific run. She wound up with a 7-2 record. She made it all the way to the finals. She on the way there, she beat Jennifer Jones, who's ranked number 3 in the order of merit, and wound up being defeated by Rachel Holman in a game that was tied at 4 going into the 7th end. So Roth had a terrific outing, and again, all three of these teams have a lot to show for their early season here, and I'm just really excited to see what happens with them next month.
Yeah, I'm with you. And Chris, if you've watched and followed the women's teams, and Joe, you know, like you just said, Corey's had her moments. Nina had her moment this weekend. Jamie's had great success. All three of the women's high-performance teams have had really great success this fall, as we are now just, what, about a month away from going to Omaha and Baxter Arena yet again is Curling Night in America. We were there just, it feels like just weeks ago. But, you know, it just the women's teams have played very, very well in this fall season so far.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I haven't really watched a lot of the women's you know, this season, but both Nina and Jamie were at the St. Paul Cashville last year, and I think Nina won it. Can't remember for sure, but I'm excited. I think I'm going to run down there, and it's about a 5-hour drive from here. I think 5-6 hours, and I think I'm going to go there for like the final weekend.
That'd be awesome. Let's have a TESN Stonecast meetup one night when we're all dragging late in the week. But let's make sure that you can give us a shot in the arm, Chris. Hey, before we let you go, tell us what you got coming up on the Stonecast podcast on this next episode in this coming week.
Well, we don't. So I really admire that y'all can do your once a week podcast. Like you're going to turn this around and get it out Thursday, right?
Yeah, we will be live. This will be live on Thursday morning for
a
week.
Now, my style is I record, and then it takes me about 3 weeks to edit it down. So I'll record like an hour and a half of audio, and then I'll edit it down. So the last episode that we did was basically with the manager of the club and the guy that runs the work crew. So St. Paul Club is all volunteers, so in the summer they do all this renovation. So that's the last one. We actually don't have anything in the can yet going forward. There's a couple that we have kind of lined up. I'm thinking about, I haven't asked yet, but I know that Kim Rimes, she curls out of St. Paul, and I don't know anything about her really, and she played on sheet 5 quite a bit, and I was gonna go down and call her because when she was on when she was in the house, she was kind of dancing around. And so I was going to call her Tiny Dancer. Turns out she is a dancer and she works right down the street. So I think I might try to pursue her, but we don't really have anything planned. We do about last year. I did one or two a month, and that was just a little bit too intense for me. So we do about one a month, and we've got a couple ideas, but the cash spiel kind of, was the next thing we did.
So. Well, tell all our listeners here on the Extra Extra and where they can listen to the Stonecast podcast when you get it.
Yeah, if you just go in a web browser, go to stonecast.rocks. You can check us out on Facebook, just Stonecast. We're also in you know, iTunes and Stitcher and all that sort of thing. So just look for Stonecast on iTunes. We have a lot of really cool things. I mean, we've got about 25 episodes, and they're all about a half hour. I time it based on the amount of time it takes me to get to work. I don't like listening to things longer than that. And a lot of history of the club in the area. And we interviewed the oldest member of our club, the oldest active curler, who is 90, Paula Arnold. We did that over the summer. That was really fun. So. Cool.
Well, very good stuff. Well, Chris Lisney from the St. Paul Curling Club, host of the Stonecast podcast. Joe, this has been a treat to have Chris on with us. Can't wait to hopefully get Chris back on again real soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me. You guys do great work. And, Joe, that software, if we didn't have that software, we couldn't do any of this. So, I'm sure that you coded all that, right?
Oh, that would be Brian Anderson. He's the man behind Score Streamer. So if you're interested in becoming a TESN affiliate, give us a holler. We'll help you out.
Yeah, you guys are amazingly great and support and helpful too. Like any problems that have happened, I don't know. You guys must not have a social life or something, because you guys are very helpful. So
all right,
tell my wife.
All right, let's go ahead and get out of here. Chris Lisney from the St. Paul Curling Club, host of the Stonecast podcast, Joe Calabrese, Price Atkinson. Joe and I will be right back to wrap it up here on the Extra In podcast with the 12th In Sports Network, powered by Sygenix. We'll be right back.
If you're looking to buy new curling equipment, don't settle for cheap imitations. Hardline came onto the scene 7 years ago and is now at the forefront of high-performance and recreational curling equipment. Hardline's ice pad is the best choice when it comes to brush heads, which is why top-ranked pros play with it, including world champions Team Gushue, as well as U.S. men's and women's national champions Team Schuster and Team Sinclair. Whether you're looking for brooms, the Pro Slide Delivery Aid designed by Reed Carruthers, or shoes and apparel, take a look at Hardline and see why they are the number one choice for curling equipment. Show this sponsor your support by going to www.tesn.us and clicking on Hardline's ice pad logo.
All right, welcome back into the Extra Extra podcast with the 12th In Sports Network, powered by Isagenix, Price Atkinson. Joe Calabrese here, ready to put a bow on Joe. I believe this is episode number 6 of the podcast. I can't even believe we're 6 episodes in now.
I know, it's all flying by, isn't it, Price? I mean, we've had 6 weeks of really solid interviews and some really great roundtables highlighted today with the interview with McCormick and Dropkin, and then the roundtable with Chris Lisney.
Yeah, really enjoyed catching up with Corey and Heater, and certainly appreciate Chris Lisney with the St. Paul Curling Club, the Stonecast podcast, joining us for our weekly roundtable. Really enjoying the weekly roundtable where you can get into an array of topics, whether it be, you know, kind of long-term, what happened over the weekend, just always a lot of stuff to get to because, you know, as Corey and Heater said earlier, you know, it really was a season. This season so far feels like it's been going on forever because there really was no off season, so just so much to talk about as we get ready for the Olympic trials. And I'd be remiss if we didn't even start getting ready for South Korea, because before we know it, as we blink right now, we're only a month away from being in Omaha. Before we blink again, it's going to be time to play in the Olympic Games in South Korea, Joe, in February.
Yeah, you know, before we know it, we're going to have those two teams on the men's and women's side who are going to be, you know, our representatives at the Olympics. And, you know, it was great having Chris Lisney on because he had that firsthand experience of what happened in St. Paul. He got to see all these teams in action, gave us sort of that firsthand account, and it was great having him on. And it sets us up really well for, you know, the next few weeks as these teams prepare for that trials at Baxter Arena.
Yeah, it really does. It's next week, you mentioned next week, we'll have Craig Brown and Jason Smith, Smitty from Team Brown, so we'll talk with him next week. Also, I think we're going to have a special guest hopefully next week as we finalize and get that worked out. Don't want to tease it until we get it all, you know, finalized and in the can. But, you know, before we get out of here, Joe, be remiss of we didn't have a little quick NFL barb here. It's my Panthers. They moved to 4-1, baby. How about another road win after knocking off the Patriots, knock off the Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford 27-24. How about the big boys from Carolina now 4-1 on the season? I won't bring up the Buffalo Bills losing at lowly Cincinnati.
You know, I'm going to give the Panthers the credit that they deserve. They've been playing such strong football, and beating the Lions on the road is no easy task anymore. It used to be something that you sort of expected, but now it's not as easy. And, you know, the Bills, you know, let's pivot to the Bills. Oh, man. Do I really want to do this? They just have no offense at times. And this was one of those weeks where they just had no offense. And that it was tough to see because their defense came to play. And unfortunately, it just wasn't enough.
Well,
we have the bye week to heal up a little bit. So I'm excited about that. We'll get back at it.
Let me just say, I might give you a little bit of a hard time. You know, I love you, but I am a Bill. I mean, second, forget the Ravens. You know, having lived in Maryland for about over 4 years, you know, I kind of adopted the Ravens as a secondary team. No longer, no more. I'm now a Bills fan next to the Panthers. That is my second team now. So I am certainly a Buffalo Bills guy. I mean, hell, we got enough guys that are in the front office, you know, coaching with you guys. I should be a Bills fan, you know, since it's Charlotte light, Panthers light up there. But I'm a Bills fan right there with you. So I will commiserate with any win or any loss and certainly celebrate any win with you, my friend.
Sounds good. I like it.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get out of here on the 12th In Sports Network. The extra in here, powered by Isagenix. What we got coming up next week, we got Craig Brown and Jason Smith from Team Brown right here on the extra in podcast. A lot of great stuff, a lot more good contests and giveaways to give away next week. Again, subscribe on iTunes, on the Apple Podcast app. Catch us on tesn.us/podcast. All kinds of great stuff. I appreciate all our listeners every single week. We will see you again right here next week on the Extra In podcast with Bryce Atkinson and Joe Calabrese. We'll catch you then.
Thanks for being with us on this edition of the Extra In podcast with Bryce Atkinson. Follow Bryce and the 12th In Sports Network crew on Twitter and Facebook to stay up on our weekly contests, giveaways, and guests. For upcoming episodes of the Extra In podcast, powered by Isagenix.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.